Blog Talk Radio.
Sorry, we're starting half an hour later today. We had some emergencies, and I didn't want to miss at least having something on the Friday show, so we'll make up for it probably Monday or next week. Today we had the wedding, which was watched around the world, of the one of the heirs to the British throne, or the family business, as some people call it. This is an odd thing that's going on here in San Francisco. Another odd thing, we have all kinds of police. We have the garbage police, where poor homeless people are trying to earn money by going through people's garbage and getting bottles and cans and then bringing them to the recycler so they can have some money. So now we have the garbage police going around making sure that these homeless people stay out of garbage that's put out on the street. So there's a debate as to whether this garbage belongs to the people that put it out on the street or to the company that collects it. And, of course, there's some people who make a mess out of going through people's garbage, but the people who do this for a living, and there are more and more of them given the Obama economy, they try to clean up after themselves, not make a mess on the street, and get people upset. Then we have the graffiti police. These are people that go around and if there's graffiti, these chicken scrawlers at night who scrawl all over the buildings, and in the morning the owners have to clean up the mess of the defacement of the buildings. So if they don't do it right away, the city has its graffiti police go around and post a notice threatening them if they don't clean up the paint on their door or all the graffiti that they will be fined, even though the owner of the building or the tenants in the building didn't do the dirty deed. Now we have a proposal on the San Francisco ballot, a proposed proposal. They got the signatures in. Turns out, we believe this person is gay, has put what I call the foreskin issue on the ballot, where they're going to try to stop circumcisions, whether the parents want them or not. This is a boy's, not female genital circumcision, but male circumcision for anyone under 18. I don't know how they're going to enforce it. So we're calling this, we now have the proposal to have foreskin police. Are they going to put this type of person in an operating room, in the pediatrician's office, in an obstetrics theater in the hospital, or in the baby ward, in the maternity ward, to make sure that babies aren't circumcised or children aren't circumcised. And it's so crazy, but this ties into what the wedding today of Prince William. Now, it's interesting, the history of circumcision, besides the Muslim and the Jewish groups that practice it, and there's a rabbi called the Mohel. There's been a lot of controversy about this over the years, over the centuries, as a matter of fact. In fact, when the Muslims would capture Christians, they would do a half circumcision and call, and that's the origin of the term Christian dog, uncircumcised dog. Sir Richard Burton, the famous English explorer, and who wrote a lot about the sexual mores of primitive peoples, he snuck into, I think it was Arabia, it wasn't called Arabia at the time, and if you were caught and you were an infidel, that's a non-Muslim, caught in these areas, which are restricted to people who practice the Islam or the Muslim faith, they would check to see if you were circumcised if they suspected you were an infidel. And woe to you if you were an infidel. Now, during the pogroms in Russia and Poland, there's a movie called The Fixer, with starring the late Alan Bates. And what they used to do is, if they suspected somebody was Jewish, they weren't convinced of it, they'd make him drop his pants. Those of you who saw the movie Winds of War, the series, there is a clip, a chapter clip in there where the Americans are getting out of Berlin, and the SS, we're at the railroad station, and this actually happens. The SS says they want all the Jews, anybody of Jewish faith, even if you're an American, to go into a separate line. Now, they had the foreign nationals of other countries who followed this order from the SS. The Americans in this film, Winds of War, would not, and then the captain of the SS or the leader, Oberfuhrer or whatever, said, "We have ways, meaning we'll make you drop your pants." So one of the Americans, the American diplomat who was traveling with these Americans, and there was a Jew or two people who were departing, said that in America, this is circumcision, American boys are circumcised. And then a couple other of the Americans who were non-Jews start speaking, "Well, I'm circumcised," and all that. Now, Queen Victoria was a very strange bird, even though she had a lot of kids. She thought that to prevent masturbation, and that was the Victorian thinking at the time, that the boy should be circumcised. She had her heirs, her males, circumcised. They had a Mohel come into Buckingham Palace and do the job. In World War I, when the Americans went to the American Expeditionary Force went to Europe, a lot of the guys, were in Paris and they liked the women over there, and they came down with venereal disease. So the American military decided to start circumcision. In World War II, it became very prevalent. And then a way of disciplining non-circumcised men or boys or youth. The officer would say, "Well, we'll have your wing flaps cut off." There was adult circumcision during World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War. And these are guys who were 18, 19, in their 20s. There's a famous case which I had to research for the Steve Mary, the U.S. Navy sailors case, which will start to come up in the fall. We're working on the documentary preview right now. It'll be a video book. There was a case I came across where a military person went into a Veterans Administration hospital for a heart condition. They screwed up and gave him a circumcision, and he died of a heart attack. I'll try to find that case. But under the Freire's decision by the U.S. Supreme Court, any service man or woman who is injured or killed during their length of service, active duty service, they cannot sue the government. And that's a case which people like Art Burnclaw of Veterans for Constitutional Law and other people, Drew Raines, former U.S. Marine, are trying to overturn and give justice for these military personnel, men and women. Now, getting back to Prince William, now I understand that when Diana was pregnant and she was about to give birth, she decided to give birth not in the palace, but in a public hospital. She also was opposed to circumcision. Now, we do not know for sure, and really don't care, if Prince William and Prince Harry were circumcised. However, the homosexual video voyeurs were paying homosexual paparazzi and caught a picture of Prince William, who was at a polo game. He went off to the side to urinate, and they shot a picture of him taking a pee. Disgusting. And, of course, they are focusing on Prince Harry as well as being well endowed. I mean, this is the mentality of these morons. And it's not only them. There are pictures of Arnold Schwarzenegger, Joe Louis, famous athletes of this video voyeur business, and they focus on circumcision. Now, also, they're among the crazy, what I call the lavender left lunatic fringe in California, and, of course, there's some across the country. These guys who were circumcised at birth or in their youth decided that they wanted to have their foreskin restored. I would think that's more painful. I don't know. But anyway, this is what's going on. Anyway, we'll know if this ballot proposal for the anti-circumcision, which will be a part of the San Francisco police code, I think it's unconstitutional because it infringes on the rights of people's religion and how they practice. So it's going to be interesting. But this is some of the lunatic things that are going on, as well as the craziness that's going on about Mr. Obama's where he was born and his birth certificate. I told everybody, we caught this by accident on French TV, that it was the original birther, if you want to use those terms, is Governor Bill Richardson, and it's on Amicus Veritas. He was caught talking to the Latino contingent in Denver at the Democratic Convention when he said, Obama is an immigrant, he is one of us. And when we did and other people tried to contact him to get a clarification from him when he went back to Santa Fe, New Mexico, his office and he did not respond. Now, maybe some of these people, these talking heads in the media will get off their duff and call him and ask him, why did he say that? And if he lied, he owes Mr. O an apology. He owes the nation an apology. That is, if he lied. Now, another crazy thing that's been going on, this is the 100th anniversary of the San Francisco Bay to Breakers, where people come from all over the country and around the world, and usually an African runner who wins it. Well, it's degenerated into drugs, drunkenness, garbage strewn all over the streets, people doing all kinds of crazy things, defecation in people's yards, and people and the neighbors are getting tired of it. It's become a drunken orgy, and even the people who are regular runners are tired of it. So we are proposing a change, and we'll put it up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. We did a rerouting of the race, and maybe the sponsors of the race will go for this reroute. It's easier also on the runners. But the question that comes up, and this is going to this foot race will come up in is scheduled for the middle of May. Excuse me. If somebody gets drunk at this race and then drives a car and injures or kills somebody, who is liable? Does the what they call the innkeeper's liability, that is, or the tavern keeper's liability kick in. That is, if a bartender serves somebody who is obviously drunk or who's underage, that person leaves and gets into a car or motorcycle or even on a bicycle and injures or kills somebody, the bartender is liable under California law. And we'll give you the specific cases and the specific California statutes. So this is the question that's coming up, because there's a lot of it. We have documented a lot of last year's drunken orgy, defecating in the street. They had to hose down whole streets because of the urine. They turned parts of San Francisco into a giant urinal. And, of course, people were also defecating and the neighbors are getting tired of it because all they do is get, a lot of these people just get drunk, party, run nude, and the people who run nude, a lot of them should be arrested for what I call anesthetic exposure. They're nothing to look at. There are no Venus de Milo's. There are no Michelangelo's famous statue in Florence, famous statue of David. So this is coming up, and it's time for some changes. It's time for what we call reform, or just get rid of it, scrap it all together. Excuse me. Now, also, the something else that very few people know about who don't live in New Mexico, I came across this in a legal paper when I was doing some research for another case, that in the New Mexico Constitution, and we will get the exact site, there a lot. The state of New Mexico allows non-English-speaking people to sit on juries. Now, I don't see this, and a lot of other people don't see this, as a litigant having a jury of his or her peers, especially if they don't speak English and don't understand English, and why are they there in the first place? So this is, you know, in other states we're considering this, and then, of course, the radical leftists, La Raza, and all these other neo-totalitarian groups were crying racism when we raised these issues. And it's not only white Americans, it's Americans of every color, creed, and ethnicity and heritage who become aware of this. And they're very concerned because they might be on one of these juries where they're going to be judged by people who don't speak English and who don't understand English. So this is something that we need to address, and it's part of the disenfranchisement of America as we see it. So, and also, California recently, one of the legislative houses, I think it was the Assembly, one of the gays, Tom Amiano and Mark Leno, two homosexual activists from San Francisco. Leno is from Wisconsin, and Amiano is from New Jersey, and Amiano used to be a school teacher and the reputed head of NAMBLA, the National Association of Man, Boy, Love, Pedophile Group. They pushed through that house in the Assembly in Sacramento, the California State Legislature, that gay history, as they see it, should be taught in all the California schools. So I find it very interesting. A lot of other people didn't know that the reputed head of NAMBLA, the International Pedophile Group, was proposing this piece of trash. Now, since my voice is going, I'm going to play the Jim Gleason interview on art. Where is Jim? sorry about the screws up today. It's just been one of those days, but we wanted to make sure that we got in our show as people expect us to perform, as it were. And, of course, we try to give you information that you can use. Here we go. Where is... Oh, here we go. No, where is Jim Gleason? I'm sorry. Here we go. Here we go on art tips.
Okay. There are people who have a little money and they want to acquire an art collection, but they don't want to get burned or get stuck with stuff that's been stolen. And people, the heirs have been searching for this art for since World War II. What practical information, tips, could you give these people who want an art collection, but they don't want to be stealing something that's an heirloom to, say, a Holocaust victim?
Right. Probably the safest way to go in that case is to buy directly from the artist.
What if you can't?
If you can't buy directly from the artist, sometimes things on the internet, you know, you're going to have to do your homework. You as a buyer are going to have to do your homework. You may see something that you like, maybe an image that you like on the internet, and you might want to explore where it's been. There are ways of tracking it, but you do have to be careful about that. There was a lot of booty stolen during World War II, and there's art stolen today. So it's an ongoing thing. If you buy from a reputable gallery around the city, and there are many of them, I would try to avoid. Sometimes buying on the internet is okay, but again, just be careful with what you do.
Okay, what about art that's been that's phony? That's it wasn't printed. It wasn't.
Oh, it's like
painted.
Counterfeit.
Yeah, counterfeit.
Art. Sometimes those are tricky. Again, there are unscrupulous dealers that do that. You know, I've read about them. There's so much art out there that it is hard sometimes for the average consumer to know what he or she is getting themselves into. And they can be conned to a certain degree. If you can't buy directly from the artist or work from a reputable gallery, it might be good to get an art consultant or work with consultants or representatives, so they could help you build your collection. And there's plenty of people that are well educated in the art field. And another thing you can always do is you can take if you buy something and maybe you think it's could be a little bit dodgy, you can bring it to an auction house, and they can, like Butterfield's.
Authenticate it.
Butterfield's will authenticate it for you, and mm-hmm. I don't think they even charge I don't think it's a huge charge. Mm-hmm. I think they would, be able to look that up for you.
Now, you're in the teaching field. Are there experts in the academic world who could help
prospective? I'm sure there are. I'm sure there's specialists. I'm definitely not a specialist in that, but I'm sure there are. And then you could probably even look people up to find those things for you.
Okay, I'm going to break it again.
Okay, that was Jim Gleason, and we have another part of that long interview, and that'll be up on YouTube. Now, also, a lot of people didn't know that J. Edgar Hoover also did at least one painting, which we have. We'll put that up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. What he did, and also when he oversaw every little aspect of the FBI's image, and I was told that he chose the music. Now, one of the most famous FBI films that's very relevant today, The House on 92nd Street, although some of it's fictionalized, it was about the Nazis in World War II who tried to steal the secrets of from Oak Ridge of the work we were doing on to develop an atomic bomb. Now, the Nazis were also working on nuclear bomb. There's a famous movie, The Heroes of Telemark, or this is in Norway, where the Norwegians had one of the biggest supplies of heavy water. Now, that's not a rock group, and that's used in the production to create atomic energy and make a bomb, all of that. So the Norwegian underground, with the aid of the British, sabotaged the heavy water factory and destroyed the heavy water that was to be shipped back to Germany. It's a famous film starring Kirk Douglas. And then, of course, the Germans, the physicists, I think Niels Bohr, which was one of them, was working on developing a nuclear bomb. Anyway, the Nazis had a spy ring here, and the person in charge of us called Mr. Christopher. Now, that's not George Christopher, Warren Christopher, the late Secretary of State. Was an alias used by a woman who dressed as a man, and I don't know how accurate this is. We found it interesting. And they operated their spy ring, one of their spy rings, at a house in New York on 92nd Street. And I found it interesting, the music that was used for the theme of this film. It starred Lloyd Nolan, and it's a semi-documentary, and of course it's written by Richard Strauss, called The Festival Prelude. And here's a clip from that, and this is out of the Weizmann Public Radio archives. This is the opening to the film, and there's a voiceover. Really a great film. Thank you. During World War II, J. Edgar also had another radio program called the FBI in Peace and War, and we will play the theme. We have to get it out of the archives for that radio program. It was quite famous at the time. I remember listening to it when I was a kid back in the 50s. Also today, next week, we will hopefully have an unusual mayoral candidate for San Francisco. And it's very important what goes on in this city and even in California. We're on the cutting edge, unfortunately, the wrong kind of cutting edge for true progress and honest politics and really helping the people of people who run for office. We're trying to get civic statesmen who are people who think of the next generation and not of the next election. So we'll end today. I'm sorry we had to shorten things because of something that came up and I had to rush back here. And we'll have more next week and a lot of update on the foreskin flap. And we'll end with our usual politics and poker. And this is a strip poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey,
Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's your cash?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bat out.
Poker, which is more important?
Paratrade.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll stay.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fudyashinkovich, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker. Play for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, running neck and neck.
Well, this is Peter Paul Verzola. Thank you for listening. It'll be up in the archives. You can download on your iPad and hopefully from the blog, the web. Good night, and we'll be back Monday. And we might run an hour just as long as we reschedule things against some emergencies in my life. So good night, and thanks for listening, and thank you for future listening.